the spiritual condition of America, politics, culture, and current events, analyzed through the lens of Scripture. Welcome to the Alex McFarland Show.
You know, in John 17:17, the Bible says, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." Welcome to the program. Alex McFarland here, and we have a very special show. We'll talk about the Word of God, and we'll talk about a biblical worldview in our culture and some ways that our culture is deviated from a biblical worldview. Folks, you don't want to miss the next 30 minutes, because I've got a privilege to have on the program again just a hero of mine, and I make no apology to say that Erwin Lutzer is a hero. We had, nearly 23 years ago, Dr. Lutzer spoke for us for the first time in the Truth for New Generation conferences, and I had really prayed, and I said, "Lord, I don't know how I can connect with Dr. Lutzer, but please make him available to speak in our conferences." And Dr. Lutzer, I want to say that we've never had a more requested speaker. We've been blessed to have Chuck Colson, James Dobson, Josh McDowell, all of the great leaders, but certainly nobody was as off-requested as yourself. You're the pastor emeritus of Moody Church. You're a prolific author. And really, like few people I've ever known, you seem to have the gift of God to see the trends before they manifest themselves. You've had a discernment to speak to where the culture is. You've got a book coming out called The Eclipse of God, Our Nation's Disastrous Search for a More Inclusive Deity. That's for sure. And what we must do about it. But Dr. Erwin Lutzer, I want to say thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Alex, and it's a privilege to be with you. And you know, all of us have our space. We all have our constituencies. And so I thank God for you, because all of us are called in different ways to speak to this culture, both to rebuke it, but also to give it the hope of the gospel, which is, of course, our interest. Now, the eclipse of God. You know that it's possible to have an eclipse of the sun. The sun continues to shine very brightly, but the moon gets in the way. And God continues to be God, but clearly, like God said to Israel, he said, "I have hidden my face from you." That's the eclipse of God. When I begin to think about the darkness of our culture, I'm reminded of Nietzsche, and one of the chapters in the book shows what's happening in Europe and what's happened in Europe, how it has come to us. You remember Nietzsche, who died in the year 1900, he said, "God is dead," and he says, "We have killed him, and we hear the noise of the grave diggers." Who are those grave diggers? Well, in my book, I have a chapter on showing Marx, who attacked God as ruler. You have Darwin, who attacked God as creator. Yes. And you have Freud, who attacked God as lawgiver. Now, people may say, "Well, why did you write about them?" Let me give you a quick insight. Take, for example, Darwin. Darwin said that the baboon is our grandfather. Like, you know, you've heard the monkey in the zoo who said, "Am I my keeper's brother?" You know?
Yeah, right. That's good.
So the baboon is our grandfather. Now think about this. If we came up through the animal world, we have no argument against abortion, no argument about infanticide or euthanasia. Why? Because we do that for animals, right?
Right.
So the animal rights movement wants to exalt the animals because they are a part of our history. Even rats are some of our cousins. They want to be able to exalt that movement, but at the same time, they drag humanity down to the level of animals.
Yes.
And once you have man not created by God, once you have man on a continuum with animals, you have no arguments against everything that is happening in our culture.
That's true.
In fact, I was talking to an attorney who said this: apart from creation, there is no reason to have human rights that we argue for. So that's an example of the impact on our culture. Now, while I'm talking, I'm going to give you a little bit of a survey as to where this book goes. There was an article in The Atlantic many years ago that says, "Nobody believes in the Smitey Almighty." After all, God is becoming more tolerant. He's becoming liberal. He's approving of same-sex marriage. Look at what's happening in churches. And nobody believes in this mighty Almighty. And the online version was Nearer My God to Me. Mm. And by the way, I have a chapter entitled that. Sure. God is becoming more like us. We make up in our own minds the idea of God. It's the self-consciousness that we think we can come. It's spirituality, Alex. It's where, you know, I don't need to believe anything specific, but I have faith and I have my own God.
You know, our mutual friend Norm Geisler, he's in heaven, but Dr. Geisler used to say that in the beginning, God created man in his image, and man's been returning the favor ever since.
Exactly, and in the Psalms, we're warned about, you think that I am like you are. Mm-hmm. You know, God warns. Okay, what about this mighty Almighty? In this book, I also have a chapter on the Old Testament.
Okay.
How to handle things like the flood and the killing of the Canaanites that give us a lot of trouble and we don't understand it all, the stoning of people. And then one of the longest chapters is entitled, Is God More Tolerant Than He Used to Be? Because, you know, in the Old Testament, you had all of these terrible penalties.
Right.
And today we don't have that at all. So is it the same God? I was talking to a pastor recently and he said, my son has to read your book. Because he's just concluded that the God of the Old Testament is a different God than the New. And you know that one of our friends who claims to be an evangelical says that we have to unhitch the Old Testament from the New, which is totally a disaster.
Totally
imagine false. Imagine the genealogy of Jesus unhitched from the Old Testament.
In John 5:39, the Lord said, search the scriptures for they testify of me.
Which is Old Testament.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a kind of foolishness that has conceded to the culture some things that are very, very important. But anyway, so we discuss that. After the break, you can ask me questions about that. But also, then I go on to show that God is necessary for truth, for law. And the last chapter is entitled Returning to the God of Grace, mm-hmm. excuse me, of Wrath and Grace, Not Unconditional Love.
Mm. Wow.
So the whole idea of contemporary culture, oh, God loves me unconditionally. So I'm sleeping with my girlfriend, but he loves me unconditionally, so he approves of what I do unconditionally. That's not the God of the Bible. So my burden is to say, we have to accept God as he is and not the God that we would want him to be.
Mm. We're listening to Dr. Erwin Lutzer. He's the author of the new book, The Eclipse of God. Now, I understand the release date is in fall of 24.
Yes.
But people can pre-order this.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. It's on ChristianBook.com, The Eclipse of God.
Let me encourage you to go online, pre-order this, make it a bestseller even before it comes out. We've got a brief break. We're going to come back more with pastor, author, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, The Eclipse of God. Don't go away.
Fox News and CNN call Alex McFarland a religion and culture expert. Stay tuned for more of his teaching and commentary after this.
In recent years, our nation has suffered greatly, and we seem to be on a rapid moral decline. We've rejected God, morality, and we've almost completely lost our sense of patriotism. It's no wonder that many are asking the question, is this the end of America? Hi, Alex McFarland here, and I want to make you aware of my book, The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late. You know, our nation has seen politicians that are corrupted by greed, and they've got a vested interest in power, and many of our elected officials seem to care little about the country that they've been appointed to serve. Read my book, The Assault on America. We can stand up for our great nation and defend America before it's too late. It's available everywhere. You can learn more on my own website, which is alexmcfarland.com. Read the book, The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late.
He's been called trusted, truthful, and timely. Welcome back to the Alex McFarland Show.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. What an honor always to converse with Dr. Erwin Lutzer. And before we get back to the book, website. I know you, after many years of faithful shepherding of Moody Church, you are Pastor Emeritus. How can people find you online, sir?
Well, we have many blogs and sermons online, moodymedia.org.
Moodymedia.org.
And then they can, click on this, click on that, whatever it is that they want. And yes, it was my privilege to be the pastor of Moody Church for 36 years.
Amen.
And I don't take for granted the grace of God in my life. Did I ever tell you, Alec, the first time I preached at Moody Church?
No, sir.
Oh, I tell this story because I want people to understand that everything that I have done is because of God's grace. It has Amen. Nothing to do with me. I was pastor of a small Baptist church in Chicago. This was 1977. I resigned to teach full-time at Moody Bible Institute, but I needed the summer to study philosophy, so they have a farewell for us the last Sunday of March. Wake up the first Sunday of April without a church to go to. I wanted to go to a different church. My wife, Rebecca, whom you know, said, mm-hmm. let's go to Moody Church. And I don't know how it is with you, Alex, but whenever I hear the voice of God, it sounds an awful lot like my wife.
Amen. I tell young men, the greatest favor God can do you, second only to salvation, is to give you a Christian wife.
And not only a Christian wife, but you and I have the good fortune of having a wise Christian life.
Amen.
Wife.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
All right. So we go to Moody Church. We have only two kids. I drop them off. There's no parking. Blocks away, there's parking. I said, I'll meet you in the lobby if I can find a parking spot. Lo and behold, a guy pulls out right in front of me. Oh, well, that's really nice. I back in. I go into the lobby. Wearsby's leaving. He has his coat on. He doesn't see me. I see him.
Okay, Warren Wearsby.
Warren Wearsby.
Okay.
And I put my hand on his shoulder and said, Wearsby, what are you doing here? It's 10 minutes before the service. He said, Erwin Lutzer, I'm sick. I'm on my way home. I want you to preach for me this morning. So the first time we ever attended a service at Moody Church, I preached at Moody Church. And that was one of the dominoes that God set up by which eventually I would become the pastor.
Talk about the sovereignty of God.
Yeah.
Now, there's so many questions I want to ask you, and thank you for sharing this. And we'll get back to the book, but I'm sure most people will know Warren Wearsby, iconic author, the B series, theologian, pastor. So you follow, those are big shoes to fill,
mm-hmm.
Warren Wearsby. And you just happened to be at Moody Church. He happened to not feel well. And so what sermon did you preach that morning? Do you recall?
I'll tell you the sermon exactly. I recall it with clarity. But first of all, in my book, in my autobiography entitled He Will Be the Preacher, it's called that because when I was sleeping in the crib, according to my mother, the pastor and his wife came over, and she said to my mother in German, Er wird der Prediger sein, he will be the preacher. Now, I don't know how she knew that. Maybe it was an offhand remark, but it turned out to be true. But the reason I wrote that, Alex, my autobiography, is I wanted people to see how God leads us when we're unaware of it. And one
Amen.
Of the chapters is the providential parking space.
Amen.
You see, if I hadn't have found that parking space at that moment, if Wearsby hadn't been sick, if we hadn't have met in the lobby, he had actually asked an older member of the staff to regurgitate his Sunday school lesson. But when Wearsby said he wanted me to preach, I went to the back of the church. I had an envelope. I wrote out an outline of Psalm 1, meditating in the law of God that I had given before. I wish I had kept the envelope. But, at the time, you don't know how significant something's going to be. And so that became my first sermon ever at Moody Church. Of course, I had preached previously. And then whenever Pastor Wearsby was gone, he had me speak, and then he went back to the Bible, and eventually I became the pastor of Moody Church. But, Alex, my whole life is attributed to the providence of God. And I say Amen. To everyone out there with sincerity, as best as I can, I want to take no credit for what God has done through me, because it's all of his grace. I have really, I didn't know I could write a book. That's another miracle.
Dr. Lutzer, 24 hours ago, I was at a major Christian university in Mississippi, Blue Mountain Christian University, great school. They had a series of lectures on biblical worldview, and this year I was the speaker. And guess what? Literally dozens of students came in line to ask me, Alex, how may I know God's will for my life? And, you know, like you say, providentially, just as we're walking with Jesus, obedient, the will of God for our life manifests itself as we first and foremost pursue Christ's likeness.
Well, you know, I've given a lecture on the will of God, and I know exactly what the will of God is for you, Alex.
Yes, sir.
Because the Bible says in five different places, and this is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is the will of God, that you give thanks in everything. So here's the deal. If you obey God in those areas in which He will has revealed Himself, He will guide you in those areas that are unrevealed.
Say that again. This is so vital. Folks, listen in.
Go to the Bible and find the expression, this is the will of God. I think it occurs five times. Obey the will of God that He has revealed in the Word. And if you yield yourself to Him, He is going to guide you in the matters that are unrevealed.
Amen.
And the reason I wrote my autobiography, if I may go back to that again, is this reason. I wanted people to see that God guides us even when we're unaware of it.
Amen.
I didn't know that this guy backing out of a parking space and me backing in. I mean, that just happens, right? You've had it happen. I've had it happen. I did not know that that was part of God's. And there are so many stories of my life where that happened. And I think it's one of the reasons is because of the prayers of my parents.
Amen.
You've heard me say, you know, that on their first date, Dad asked if he could marry her. This was in Canada. And it's a long story that we can't get into, but they were very godly. My father lived to 106, my mother to 103. I always say that they lived so long that I'm sure until my father died, all of their friends in heaven thought that they just didn't make it. You know, they said, where are the Lutzers? But the Lutzers made it.
Amen.
But here's the thing, and here's my point. Their 70th anniversary, now they lived together for 77 years, but they didn't want any more anniversaries after their 70th. I'm sitting beside my mother, and I said, Mother, do you know the names of all of your grandchildren and all the great-grandchildren running around here? I still see it, Alex. She took her hand like this, and she put it across her face, and she said, I have a prayer list. And I mention them to God every day. When she died, we found her prayer list, every child, every grandchild, every great-grandchild, and missionaries.
Amen.
So if parents are listening today, and I know we're going to get to the book, but I have one other thing to say. When
yes,
my
sir.
Father was 100, my wife suggested that I kneel before him and get a blessing, you know, just like they did in the Old Testament times.
Sure,
so
of course.
I kneeled before my father. He puts his hand on my head, prays an awesome prayer. And I say to everyone listening today, if your father is still alive and is a believer, no matter how old you are, get a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
When I was finished, my mother said, I said, you know, I feel a little strange because I'm like Jacob because my brother, I have two brothers that are much older and they haven't come. She's, oh, they can come and get a blessing whenever they want. But the point is, that's the answer, is the prayers of God's people.
Yes. Amen. We have got to take a brief break. This is a show more special than I even knew it would be with our longtime friend and beloved by so many millions of people, Dr. Erwin Lutzer. He's the author of the new book, The Eclipse of God. We've got a break. We're going to come back more with Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Stay tuned.
Fox News and CNN call Alex McFarland a religion and culture expert. Stay tuned for more of his teaching and commentary after this.
Over the last several decades, it's been my joy to travel the world talking with children, teens, adults, people of all ages about the questions they have related to God, the Bible, Christianity, and how to know Jesus personally. Hi, Alex McFarland. I want to make you aware of my book, The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity. You know, we interviewed hundreds of children and parents and families to find out the questions that children and people of all ages are longing to find answers for. In the book, we've got practical, biblical, real-life answers that they have about how to be a Christian in this modern world. My book, The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask, you can find it wherever you buy books or at resources.afa.net.
He's been called trusted, truthful, and timely. Welcome back to the Alex McFarland Show.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. By the way, I'm not going to expend time talking about all that we have going on. We'll be at the Cove this summer. Angie and I would love to see you in July at the Cove. And Dr. Lutzer, we've got to have you back when the book officially releases. I know that I'm looking at an advance copy, folks, the book. And you are one of the authors, and I'm not, no flattery or, you know, embellishment here. Everything you write, Angie and I get. Everything you write, I love to recommend because, first of all, it's always biblical. Everything you write is faithful to God's Word, but it's very insightful. And, you know, honestly, here you and I are at this convention. There are a lot of wonderful colleagues here, authors, but the trends, the culture, what God is doing, where we need to be. Most of the time, you say it first. A lot of the books, 6 to 12 months later, they'll say it. But I commend you. The Lord has given you great insight, sir.
Well, thank you. And I'm thinking, for example, since you mentioned that, my book, Hitler's Cross, which came out many years ago.
That's right.
I was in Berlin and saw pictures of the swastika with the cross of Christ in the center. I wrote a book to show all the streams that fed the Nazi agenda, what happened there. And you know what, Alex? It's as relevant today as it was back then.
Yeah.
Maybe even more so.
Yeah, I think I got that book, I don't know, at least 10 years ago, I think it was, Hitler's Cross. And I remember thinking, what is this about? But I remember reading the book, and it was just amazing. And I mean, isn't it ironic that the very same Germany that gave the world the Reformation and Wittenberg, 200 years later, there was higher criticism and Schleiermacher and a deviation from the authority of Scripture. 200 years after Schleiermacher, there's the Third Reich. And I guess I would love for you to comment on this. When God does a wonderful work somewhere, if the church doesn't keep the momentum and follow Christ, Satan will sort of retroactively come in and do unspeakably horrible things.
That's why I have those three European philosophers, because philosophers, even though they were blind guides, the fact is that their impact was absolutely huge. We could talk about cultural Marxism in America today. And then you think of Freud, who emphasized sexuality as the highest point of happiness, any kind of sexuality. And you can see that these cultural streams feed in. Now, I have to comment on Schleiermacher, since you mentioned him.
Okay.
The father of modern liberalism.
Yeah.
He is famous for saying that religion is a feeling of dependence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in which case somebody said my dog is very dependent. I mean, very religious. But here's the point. Think of how that has seeped into the culture, where now truth is what I feel it to be. And while I'm on the topic,
mm-hmm.
in my chapter on truth, to parents out there, this is the way you tell a progressive Christian from a historical Christian. Traditional.
Mm-hmm.
A progressive looks at my feelings and tells me what my feelings are going to believe, and then whatever my feelings tell me, that's what I end up believing. Whereas you and I would say truth comes before feelings.
Amen. Yes.
And once you accept the truth, even if truth is hard to accept, your feelings fall in wherever they fall in.
Yeah.
But you cannot go by feelings first. But you see, we have a generation that is schooled on the idea that what you need is feeling. So you have my truth and your truth. In the book, I have a quote from a teacher's manual that teaches teachers how to never tell a student he's wrong because you might hurt his self-esteem. Mm-hmm. So there are about 5 different ways in my book, plus 11 others, you know, oh, well, that's an idea, or I had not thought of that, or blah, you know, all these things. Why? We are developing a nation of young people who cannot handle diverse ideas.
That's true.
They find themselves hearing something they don't like, they have to go to a safe place where they can lick the wounds of their unappreciated victimhood. So that's where we're going. But one more word about Schleiermacher. I don't know if you've ever heard of Hitler's Operation Grief. Operation Grief was this. Hitler had an idea. He said, let's take all the Allied soldiers that we have killed, take their uniforms, put them on German soldiers, so our German soldiers can go infiltrate the Allied lines. And they went in and they turned various signs around. They created all this conflict. Now, it didn't work perfectly because even though these Germans knew English, they still had an accent.
Sure.
And so they were found out.
Gave themselves
but
up.
But here's the point. What does Peter say about false teachers? They come to you unawares. They are wearing the uniform of Christianity, but in their hearts, they are traitors.
Ravening.
They are traitors to Christianity, and they are really diluting the faith.
Yeah. I was on an interview last week, Dr. Lutzer, and the person mentioned that, you know, for years we've heard about postmodernism and then the post-Christian era, and now it's been said we're in a post-Christian Christianity.
Yeah.
And the title, A More Inclusive Deity, with the time we have left, let's emphasize how important it is that we follow not the God of our own imagination, not the placating, tolerate anything God that we might think exists, but the biblical God who actually exists.
And that's the burden of my book. But also, every chapter has a declaration of dependence because we desperately need God and an action step. There are two doctrines, Alex, that destroy the Christian church.
Okay.
One is the inherent goodness of man, and the second is the endless tolerance of God. The belief in an endlessly tolerant God, a grandfather God who watches the kids play and at the end of the day puts them back in the box and says a good time is had by all. The God of the Bible is scary. You know, in my last chapter where I talk about the wrath of God and how, and we didn't even get to it, you know, the chapter that discusses is God more tolerant than he used to be. There are judgments in the New Testament, because the New Testament has more light than the Old, mm-hmm. that are absolutely terrifying. And God says, if under Moses people suffer death because of A, B, C, D, of how much greater will the punishment be for those who have trampled underfoot the blood of the Son of God? Mm. The judgments are far worse. So what we must do is to recognize that God is the same. He deals with us today administratively differently, which I explain.
Right.
But we have to get back to the God of the Bible and not the God of, you know, a remade humanistic God that we would prefer to have.
It's an idol. I mean, this God we imagine that is not the biblical God is an idol. One last question, and thank you so much for your time, folks. If you're just tuning in, it's The Eclipse of God, Our Nation's Disastrous Search for a More Inclusive Deity by Erwin Lutzer. It's coming out. It's published by Harvest House. You can pre-order it online, Amazon.com, ChristianBook.com. I'm going to say this, and I suspect you'll agree, we need to preach and teach and help people understand the fear of God.
Absolutely.
Yes.
In fact, you know how Christians say, oh, we don't have to fear him. It means reverence. No, I'm sorry. It means fear him.
Yes.
Now, the key is this. As a pastor, you have to preach with brokenness.
Sure.
If you come across with judgmentalism, I remember when I preached against same-sex marriage in Moody Church when it was in Massachusetts so many years ago, I even had those who struggled with same-sex attraction come up and say, "We disagree with you, but we appreciate the spirit with which you preached." I say to everyone out there, we cannot come across as confrontational, harsh, angry. We have to be able to preach with a brokenness and a humility, well aware of our own sinfulness. And that will enable us to communicate to others, because it isn't just, here's the truth. It's truth with love, with compassion, and so forth.
Do you have hope, or do you believe revival will ever come to America?
I have no guarantee that revival is going to come to America. I was asked today in an interview, do I have hope? Do I think we can turn the culture around? I'm not sure. But here's what I do have hope. We don't have to win the culture war in order to be faithful where God has planted us. So, you know, you look through history, you find that there were those who stood for the truth. They may not have turned their country around and so forth, but they were faithful. And if we had more time, Alex, you know what we'd talk about? We'd talk about America and how special it is as a nation. Because I've traveled in many countries of the world. Every country, its mission work is supported by American dollars.
Amen.
So when you have people saying, well, we don't have to worry about the culture, we just have to worry about the gospel. Yes, of course we worry about the gospel, but we have to also speak to those very quickly. We believe in the separation of church and state, but you cannot separate the state from morality. So we have to speak to those moral issues that are deemed political today, but they are thoroughly biblical issues.
I appreciate you so much. You've been listening to Dr. Erwin Lutzer. I encourage you to check out not only The Eclipse of God, but all of his books. In the meantime, folks, you can listen again at alexmcfarland.com. Stay strong, stay bold, tell somebody about the program, but please tell everybody about Jesus.
Alex McFarland Ministries are made possible through the prayers and financial support of partners like you. For over 20 years, this ministry has been bringing individuals into a personal relationship with Christ and has been equipping people to stand strong for truth. Learn more and donate securely online at alexmcfarland.com. You may also reach us at Alex McFarland, P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404, or by calling 1-877-YES-GOD-1. That's 1-877-YESGOD-1. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again on the next edition of the Alex McFarland Show.
Christian author and speaker Alex McFarland is an advocate for Christian apologetics. Teaching in more than 2,200 churches around the world, schools, and college campuses, Alex is driven by a desire to help people grow in relationship with God. He arms his audiences with the tools they need to defend their faith, while also empowering the unchurched to find out the truth for themselves. In the midst of a culture obsessed with relativism, Alex is a sound voice who speaks timeless truths of Christianity in a timely way. With 18 published books to his name, it's no surprise that CNN, Fox, The Wall Street Journal, and other media outlets have described Alex as a religion and culture expert. To learn more about Alex and to book him as a speaker at your next event, visit alexmcfarland.com, or you can contact us directly by emailing booking@alexmcfarland.com.